This is the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. Here's your host, Taylor Phillips.
Hello again, baseball fans, and welcome into the latest episode of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name's Taylor Phillips. If you haven't heard the podcast before, we're running out of time. There's only a couple more left before the season's over. But I try to get you through the week that was with the Texas Rangers in 15 minutes or less. In this week's show, the Rangers are on the West Coast. They had three games in Anaheim against the Angels and are in the middle of a three-game series against the San Diego Padres. I'm recording this on Sunday, September 16th, so we're going to go from Monday to Saturday. And a little bit later in the show, there's some really good division races right now in Major League Baseball. The playoffs are not determined yet. However, one team has already locked up their division. We'll talk about them during Most Interesting. But first, let's talk about those Texas Rangers.
Here's what you may have missed this week in Rangers baseball.
What you may have missed is the Rangers losing 2 out of 3 against the Anaheim Angels. But we'll start with the first win, the only win of the series, on Monday when the Rangers defeated the Angels 5-2. The story of this one was Mike Minor, who picked up his 12th win, going 6 innings, allowing 6 hits, only 1 run, and striking out 3. The bullpen was solid behind him. Connor Sadzik tossing 2/3 innings, no runs. Alex Claudio, 1 and a third, no runs. And Jose Leclerc picking up his 10th save, striking out 2 in the 9th inning. So the Rangers were able to open this series up with a win. Not a lot of offense in this game. The Rangers had only 7 hits, but they were able to score 5 runs. Very timely hitting in a game where there wasn't a lot of offense, helping Mike Minor out. And Mike Minor's looked great in the second half. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But with the Rangers opening up the series in Anaheim with a win. Now let's move on to Tuesday night. And this is where I'm going to mention a word you're going to hear often in this show. And that is the term the opener. Now, if you don't know what the opener is, it's something that's really caught on this year. It's something that the Tampa Bay Rays were the first team to start doing. I first became familiar with it actually in a book. Brian Kinney of MLB Network wrote a book. I believe it was called Ahead of the Curve. And what it does is basically is describing how instead of just having the traditional starting pitcher to open a game, and you know, like people have done since the beginning of baseball, instead, yes, the book's called Ahead of the Curve, by the way. Instead, what a team's opting to do is to pick a relief pitcher to start the game. And the relief pitcher is expected to, you know, toss a couple innings, and then you might bring in either a traditional starter a little bit later in the game, maybe the 3rd inning, 4th inning, who knows, 2nd inning. Usually these openers will go about an inning or two, or a little over an inning. And that's what the Los Angeles Angels did on Tuesday. They started with relief pitcher Jim Johnson, who opened the game and tossed 1 and a third before handing it over to the next pitcher. Flash forward, though, the Angels were able to implement this opener, you know, tactic and take a no-hitter into the 8th inning as they go on to beat the Rangers 1-0. So the Angels, that's something that I don't know if you're someone, if you don't watch baseball all the time, you maybe, if you even notice, that's something that you've never really seen before. A team that doesn't have a traditional starting pitcher going out there and just bringing out a bunch of guys that maybe you don't even know because they're relief pitchers that you're used to seeing for just a small amount of time. But the Angels were able to use that just to perfection on Tuesday to beat the Rangers 1-0. And that takes us to Wednesday, where the Angels would win the final game of the series 8-1. Giovanni Gallardo getting roughed up in this one, allowing 6 runs in 3 innings. You know, on offense for the Rangers, their only run came in a Joey Gallo home run in the 7th inning, his 36th of the year. And the Angels would have quite a lot of offense as well in this one. Francisco Arcia, being one of those guys, had 2 homers in the game, had an RBI double in this one. So Francisco Arcia was really lighting up Rangers pitching on Wednesday night. He would finish with the line 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs. So quite a game for Mr. Arcia. So the Rangers were off on Thursday. So that would bring us to Friday, September 14th, where the Rangers themselves would utilize the opener, opting for Connor Sadzik to start the game. He would go an inning, walk only 1, and that would hand the ball over to Yohander Mendez. Now, for those that aren't familiar with Yohander Mendez, he's one of those Rangers pitching prospects that he's very highly regarded. They expect him to be a very pivotal piece moving forward in their rotation. There was a bit of a hiccup in Kansas City where there was apparently an off-the-field incident where they had a meeting, I believe, in their clubhouse, and then we never saw Yohander Mendez again for a while, but he's come back in September, and he's pitched well, and he pitched well on Friday night. 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, 3 walks, 3 hits, no runs, and he was able to get out of the 6th inning striking out Eric Hosmer in a very, very epic at-bat, and he looked like all the bit like a major league-ready pitcher in that one. And then Jeffrey Springs would come in, two innings, no runs, and Jose Leclerc would lock it down, one inning, one walk, three strikeouts. The Rangers would go on to win this game 4-0. And as far as the offense is concerned, Jurickson and Profar supplied that in the seventh inning.
Profar swinging, sends this one high in the air, soaring out to right field and gone. A two-run home run for Jurickson Profar, number 17 on the year. And he has doubled the Rangers' lead.
So Jurickson Profar getting it done on Friday night, and the Rangers 4-0 win over the Padres to open their series. Let's move on to Saturday, where I'm sure many of you are watching the TCU-Ohio State game as well as the Texas-USC game. But the Rangers were playing as well, and they would go on to win 6-3, once again utilizing an opener in this one. Alex Claudio would start the game. I'll say that again. Alex Claudio started the game. That's something I didn't expect to see, especially someone like him who's not exactly a hard thrower coming out to start the game. But Alex Claudio, one inning, one hit, one strikeout. He would hand it over to Ariel Jurado. See, there it is, handing it over to the traditional pitcher. The traditional starting pitcher, I should say. Four innings, seven hits, three earned runs, three strikeouts for Jurado. He would pick up the win. Martin Perez would come in relief after him, as well as Connor Sadzik. And Jose Leclerc picking up his 11th save. Joey Gallo hit his 37th home run. So that does it for the Rangers week. They have one more game against the Padres on Sunday. That's today, September 16th, with Mike Minor taking the mound against Jacob Nix of the Padres. And Minor, as I said when the show started, has looked great of late, has a 2.70 ERA over his last eight starts. He's thrown more than 91 pitches just once in that stretch, so the Rangers are preserving his arm a little bit. I know that was the talk when the season started about he's making his first return as a starter in like 2 or 3 years. Was working out of the bullpen last year. So Mike Minor really starting to ramp it up a little bit with him as far as pitch count's concerned, get him ready for 2019, where he very well likely could be the ace of this Ranger staff next season. So now let's move on to most interesting. We talked about a couple of teams in the Rangers and Padres, and as well as the Angels, who aren't going to make the playoffs. Let's talk about a couple of teams that are.
It's time for the most interesting thing from the week in baseball.
I want to start with the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers are a team, they were in the World Series last year, took the Astros all the way to 7 games before, frankly, falling apart in Game 7, where, Yu Darvish had a couple rough outings in the World Series. Game 7 was one of them. But the Dodgers were a team coming into 2018 that people really expected to, frankly, run through their division pretty easily, I would think. And people were also talking about this should be a World Series or bust team. I think both are fair assessments. The Dodgers typically always have the payroll where they can bring in the big names if they need to, and they also have a strong farm system. But as we stood coming into Thursday, they were basically a wild card team, and they were a fringe wild card team. They were about 2 games back of the second wild card spot and set them up for a major series with the St. Louis Cardinals, who hold the top wild card spot in the National League. And so we start on Thursday. The Dodgers would win that game. Friday, they would go on to win. Walker Buehler looked great in that one, and Yasiel Puig had 2 home runs. Yasiel Puig was not done on Saturday, adding 3 more home runs to give him 5 home runs in less than 24 hours. He'd finish the day going 3 of 6 with 7 RBIs. Let's take a listen to his third home run, courtesy of Fox.
Gets underneath this one. Oh, no, Ozuna is watching it sail. Number 3. Yasiel Puig is leaving nothing but scorched earth in St. Louis.
Always stinks as a broadcaster when you get fooled by the home run. You're supposed to be ready for those home runs, ready for that home run call, and sometimes you just can't judge it. So I feel for that announcer there on Fox. But Yasiel Puig, man, he's been having quite a series to remember in St. Louis, and it's a time the Dodgers need some offense, a time the Dodgers need some wins, because as of Sunday morning, they're back at the top of the National League West, where a couple of days ago, they were just trying to make it to the wild card matchup and stay in that race. The Rockies have lost 2 in a row. The Dodgers have won 4 in a row, so the Dodgers have been able to make some headway in that division. They're 82-67 on the year, so good by the Dodgers in that one, and the only thing I would say about the Dodgers that's a weakness moving into October would be the middle of their bullpen. Kenley Jansen's had some sketchiness to him as well, but he's also fighting a bit of a heart condition. but they're really looking for some middle relief, somebody that can help bridge that gap between their starting pitchers and their back end of their bullpen, Kenley Jansen. And they may have got a little bit of help with that yesterday. If you know about Dodgers prospects, if you know about baseball prospects, a guy who was very highly regarded a couple years ago as one of the top in baseball was Julio Urias, who came out starting pitcher, looked great, ended up having some shoulder issues, didn't see him much last year, haven't seen him at all this year. Well, he made his debut pitching a scoreless ninth inning yesterday for the Dodgers in their blowout win. Julio Urias, just like Kenta Maeda last year, could be that starting pitcher who can maybe make some noise in the bullpen if you can just let him just let it eat in the late innings. Just one inning, go out there, throw hard, and get out of this inning. So the Dodgers looking for their sixth straight National League West title. So we'll see if they can hold on to that moving forward. And another team I want to talk about, a team that, if you've listened to the podcast, I bring up all the time how this team has basically had their division wrapped up since it feels like June. But they were able to finally wrap it up yesterday. The Cleveland Indians defeated the Detroit Tigers 15-0 to clinch their third straight AL Central title. And here's how it sounded on WTAM.
A swing and a miss. Ball game. Central Division title. And for the third year in a row, Cleveland, you will have another October to remember.
So the Cleveland Indians taking the AL Central on Saturday, September 15th, with a 15-0 win over the Tigers. This is a team I'm excited about watching come October. They're a team last year, if you remember, they went on this crazy win streak of like 22 or something like that games, and it went to about this time. I think it actually ended on September 15th of last year. I had to double-check that. But they're a team that they were on when they had everything wrapped up last year. They had that win streak on their minds. They're having to keep kind of going all out. I've enjoyed how they're able to kind of dial it back a little bit. And I mean, they're not trying to obviously lose games or not try, but it's been pretty pressureless for them for some time. And I kind of like that for them. I think they're a team that's going to ramp it up come October. Some issues with them as well. Bullpen. They traded for Brad Hand at the deadline, and he's been getting some ninth inning work of late. Cody Allen, their closer, has been looking kind of iffy. And they've had some injuries as well to Andrew Miller. But with Cleveland, don't forget about that offense. They might be a team. I know the Yankees and the Red Sox get a lot of the headlines as far as their offense. Obviously, they should. Stanton, Judge with the Yankees, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts with the Red Sox. But don't forget about Francisco Lindor, Michael Brantley, Jose Ramirez, Edwin Encarnacion of the Indians. That team, that lineup can bop as well on offense. So the Cleveland Indians could be a team. I don't know where they're going to square up as far as the postseason is concerned, as far as their seeding. It's looking like they're probably going to be a third seed because the Red Sox have a better record instead of the Astros, and they're going to win their divisions. So the Indians, 83-65 as they stand right now, and obviously ready for some October baseball. So we'll finish it up here on the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm Taylor Phillips. We'll finish it up here with a little bit of standings. We'll get running through what's going on right now. How's the postseason shaping up? Well, the American League East, despite having two good teams, the Yankees have over 90 wins, while the Red Sox now have 102 wins, and they've already clinched a playoff spot. They have not wrapped up their division yet. Their magic number is 4, but the Boston Red Sox are looking like they're going to win the American League East. And the American League Central, the Cleveland Indians, as we just heard, have clinched the American League Central. In the American League West, the Astros hold a 3.5-game lead over the Oakland A's. The Astros' magic number to clinch is at 11. So that division is not going to wrap up anytime soon, but I'm going to probably bet that the Astros win this division, barring some kind of collapse. And as far as the American League wild card is concerned, at the top you have the New York Yankees at 91-57, who would host the game if it ended today, going up against the Oakland A's. The Seattle Mariners are 7.5 back in the American League wild card. So I'm thinking it's going to be some kind of combination of either Yankees A's or Yankees Astros as far as the American League wild card is concerned. And the National League, the Atlanta Braves, a team that people thought were maybe another year away from seriously competing, they're looking like they're going to wrap up the National League East. They hold a 6.5-game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. In the National League Central, the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers still fighting for that National League Central. It's not over yet. The Cubs hold a 2.5-game lead over Milwaukee. The St. Louis Cardinals are back there at 6.5 back, so they're not quite out of it yet, but still kind of making some noise. This Dodgers series is not doing them any favors. They've lost the first 3 of that 4-game set. And in the National West, those Dodgers hold a 0.5-game lead over the Colorado Rockies in what's going to prove to be the most exciting division race going down the stretch. And in the National League wild card, The Milwaukee Brewers hold the top spot right now, would host that game, and they would play the Colorado Rockies if it ended today. So that does it for the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. My name's Taylor Phillips, and I'll talk to you next time about some more Texas Rangers baseball.